think has already been said. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day to all the mothers who are taking the place of fathers. And it's been a good day. And this church, we have some good people, which has already been expressed this morning. Today, I want to speak on a father's love. A father's love. It's coming from the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. This story is about a father who had two sons. You know it as the prodigal son. That is what the story came to be known as. But it is not about the prodigal son. It's about his father. When you understand the story about his father, then only will you understand and make sense of the son. The question is that I have, it causes Jesus to tell this story. And what caused him to tell this story in the first place? Well, one of the thorns in Jesus' side while he was here on earth were the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of that day, along with the scribes, and they were the experts of the law. And they gave a complaint in chapter Luke 15 and I think verse 2, he says, "This man," referring to Jesus, "receives sinners and eats with them." The Pharisees think like this. He is not only let him come into his house, but he actually sat down and dined with people that we know whose reputation was in the gutter. People we know were nobody in society. This man eats with them. How can he be a representative of a father? How can he say his father is God when he hangs out with people like that? If his father was really God, he would hang out with people like us. We are the leaders of this community. That led Jesus to tell three stories. One was about a lost sheep. Jesus concluded at the end of his second story when the sheep wandered foolishly, and in the same way, I tell you, in verse 10, he says, "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he comes to this third story, the prodigal son story. This time he goes into more detail to drive his point home to the religious leaders of that day. The first scene about the father loves you enough to let you leave, referring to God. God loves you so much that he will let you go. God loves you so much that he will not chain you down. The story is introduced in verse 11 by a man who had two sons. And the younger son says, "Father," in verse 12, "give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So the father divided his wealth between them, between the two sons. He did not stop him from leaving. Neither did he force him to stay. And this son says, "I have got to get out of here." Some of you may know teenagers like that. Some of you probably were teenagers like that. "I can't stay here anymore." He had become dissatisfied with his life at home. The text didn't tell us, but I know teenagers. I used to be one. And I know that as they grow older, they may decide that there are too many rules around here. The walls are closing in on me, and I've got to be free. So this teen decided that he wanted to be free from dad. Now he wants to be free from dad, but until dad gives him some little money. "Dad, I'm going to leave, but do you have a few dollars you can let me have?" Now, this guy's not talking about $5 or $10. He wants his inheritance. And his inheritance of a son, when you have two sons, the elders get the most, the bigger portion. Two-thirds went to the oldest son. So the younger son, he wants one-third of what his father would leave him if he were dead. Dad, give me one-third of what I would get if you were dead. This is the kind of guy who would get a penthouse apartment in New York City, sleeping during the day and partying all night. He is known by name at all the Broadway shows and after-hour restaurants and bars. He frequents the hottest clubs. And when he gets tired of New York City, he hops a jet, flies to L.A., to Beverly Hills to rub elbows with the rich and famous. He has money. He has one-third of all his inheritance. He is loaded. The problem occurs when he slanders his money in a far country. He slandered everything he has. Everything that he got from Dad, he just threw it away. Then in this another scene, he says, you find out we get some bad news. And we are told in number one, in verse 14, he spent everything. Like a child going to college, glad to get away from home, but ran out of money. Have to call home. In fact, you graduated from college, spent all your money, and had to call home for more money. He spent everything he had. His money is running low. Number two, circumstances out of his control. There was a downturn in the economy. It says that there was a severe famine occurred in that country. He could control his spending. He couldn't control the recession. Now, whatever money he had left is worth little. And he began to be in need. He had no money, no surplus money, nothing extra. And in verse 15, it says, he is speaking to Jews. And the last thing a Jewish citizen would want to do is, number one, work for a Gentile. Number two, slop hogs. Because they are unclean animals to the Jews. So this is not just a boy who has fallen. This is a boy who has fallen to the bottom, a long way from home. At the bottom of the bucket, at the bottom of the well, he's in a deep ditch, a long way from home. In Acts 2, you don't have to go there. The Father loves you enough to let you leave. But the Father also loves you enough to come back home. Verse 17, but when he came to his senses, when he came to his senses, when the boy came to his senses, now what does that tell you about his condition before he came to his senses? He was crazy. He had lost his mind. When the boy finally got saved, now when did the boy get saved? He didn't get saved until he hit bottom. God loves you enough to let you hit bottom. Because some won't wake up until they hit bottom. God will let you go down and down until you can't look anywhere else but up. He is in there with the pigs, slopping with the pigs, not being able to eat with the pigs because those pods were so bitter, and it dawned on him that one day a light came on. And when the light came on, he said, you know what? What am I doing here? Here he is, his own logical thinking. And in verse 17 says, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. My father has slaves that eat better than this. My father has hands that get fried chicken. My father has hands that get taken care of. Neither do they feed pigs. It would be better to be a slave at home than a free man in this pig pen. It is too much excitement out here. That's what he's talking about. I had to leave home, trying to convince himself. This is Father's Day. And being Father's Day, ladies, I want to let you in on a little something. This is not the Steve Harvey show, but this is true. There is one thing about men that you need to know. Not talking about the men in here. We are special. You're special. They don't like telling you that they are lost. If he tells you quickly that he is lost, he is not a man. Because men, they got this pride thing going on. Here you are, you're driving, you just got your wife on the side, you got your music playing, you're driving on down the highway, just enjoying yourself. Y'all going somewhere. Your wife says, I don't think this is we're going the right way. And the man, I know what I'm doing. I got this. I'm the man. Now, what she just did was put a thought in your mind. I am the man, but I just might be lost. You are not going to let her know that you think that you might be lost. Now, you are beginning to read the signs very closely. You are thinking about this thing. She says, I think we are going the wrong way. Oh, woman, just relax. I'm going to get us there. In fact, why don't you just go over there and just take a nap? We don't want to admit being lost. Our pride will not let us admit that we are lost. We really don't want anybody all up in our ears telling us that we are lost, and certainly not more than once. Your wife will tell you, I told you are lost, and you get a little angry. Yes, I'm lost, but let me be lost. Your pride will not let you be lost. And if you know you are lost, you want to find your way back yourself. This is the attitude of a fool. You can't be found until you're willing to admit you're lost. And if anybody here is lost today, come on home. God is not going to make you a slave. He is going to make you a son. And if you're lost today, he is not going to put his foot on you and stomp you and criticize you and hold you down. You come on home, because he wants you back in the family. And he will receive you with royalty. He won't do you like we would do you. All right, Colin. How you doing, brother? Our natural fathers, he won't do you like that. We said, boy, you just messed up. You shouldn't have left, you stupid. You just messed your life up. Your heavenly father is going to grab you. He's going to hug you. He says, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Welcome home. Because that is the love of a father. It's a love that won't even let you talk about being less than a child of God. And now we close out with scene 3. The love of a father will let you leave. The love of a father will let you come back. But the love of the father is so much, he loves, is so much to that love that he will not make your decision for you. And in verse 25, now his oldest son was in the field. Remember, there were two sons. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He is thinking, how can there be a party and I know nothing about it? So he calls for one of the servants. In verse 26, it says that, if you really read it. I'm paraphrasing a lot because I'm thinking like his son. But I'm sticking to the scripture. In verse 26, he says, what's happening? What is going on? No one told me about a party. And his servant says in verse 27, your brother has come. And your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. The older brother said, what? What do you mean? Come again? Excuse me? Repeat that? Your brother, and the servant repeated, your brother who came out of the pig pen, who lived a riotous life, your brother is back home and we are having a party. Hallelujah. What? You have got to be kidding me. And the verse says that the older brother was hot. I dare Dad to do that. The father comes outside, just like he came to the younger son. He comes outside to meet him, says, son, come in. There is a party going on. The older son says, how could you do this to me, old man? Verse 29. He says, for so many years, I have broken my back in those fields for you. For so many years, I have taken care of this land. And I have worked like crazy for you, old man. For so many years, you could depend on me to be here. And as long as I have been your son, you never thrown me a party. And this no good brother of mine, who has been living an immoral life, a godless life, who threw away his money, he shows up here out of nowhere, and you throw him a party. And Papa, I'm mad. Papa, you gave my brother the fatted calf, and guess how that calf got fat? I took care of that calf. I watered that calf. I fed that calf. The only reason that calf is fat is because I worked like a dog. And you go give it to him. And you have never even given me a goat. A kid, he says. We see how hot he was. But he was hotter than that in verse 30. Verse 30 says, but when this son of yours came, not when my brother, but when this son of yours came, look at what you do. You gave him a party. Now, some may feel bad about the older son, and I see where he's coming from. But there is a fatal flaw. The older son didn't understand the father. This is a story about the father. The older son was operating on logic and emotion, but it wasn't rightly rooted in the proper understanding of the father. He thought a relationship with the father could be established by your performance. He thought that if you worked hard enough, if you worked long enough and tries to make heaven your home, if you perform up to the standard, Father would throw you a party. That's what he thought. Do you know that there are some Christians who think like that? They are not in a far country. They haven't gone off to live like a dog. This older brother suffered from self-righteousness. He had eternal action without a personal relationship. Look at what he said in closing. He said, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. You never took advantage of your close excess. You get that? You never took advantage of your close access. And when you can be a member, we used to say of any other church, you can be a member, but don't mean that you're going to heaven. But I did it a little different. You can be a member of God's Miracle Church and not make it to heaven. You can be close, you can be serving, but you have never established a relationship. Now, the story comes down to this last verse, verse 32. It says, I'm using from the American Standard. It says, but we. Say we. 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 Speak French. We. had to celebrate and rejoice. For this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost but has been found. This is the end of the story. The lights went out, the stage, the curtains closed, and everybody got ready to go. But you said, I don't want to go yet. I'm still a little bit hungry. How can this be the end of the story? How can this story end this way? Do I have to stay and wait for a sequel? Give me a solution. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees who hears this story, will you come in or will you stay out? The choice is yours. God wants a relationship with you based on grace, not on performance. He doesn't care that you go to church every week. Even though that's good. He doesn't care how nice you are to your neighbor, although that's a good thing. The fact that you haven't robbed or murdered, that's good. But that will not give you a relationship. A relationship with God is established by grace. Listen to the person who was the worst sinner. He was the worst sinner. And his father gave him a party. And the person who was more righteous didn't get a party. There will be people in heaven who are many times worse than people in hell. Because at least they came back and got a relationship while others did not. It is the relationship with Jesus Christ that is the issue of salvation. The heart of God is for sinners to repent, not self-righteous who don't need to. Whether you are a good guy in the field or a sinner in a pig pen, the Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. And the person in the field must come into the Father's house. The person in the pig pen must come into the Father's house. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. Anyone in the far country today? God is ready to throw you a party. That's when we come to the part of, we all do at the end of service, say, anybody who has not given their life to Christ, this is where we ask. And a lot of times, we don't say it as much as we used to. It says, when you give your life to Christ, all the heavens and earth rejoice. They are singing, making merry. Why? Because that soul that was once lost is now found. That soul that was once spiritually dead has come alive. And that's why it's so important. The Father is ready to give a party. He can't help but give a party. Because I think they had a story in that same chapter about a woman who lost a coin. And said, if she had a coin and you lose it, don't you spend time to find that lost coin? And what joy would you have when you find it? It's more important. This is talking about a coin, just a brief illustration. But when you're talking about a soul that's headed downstairs to hell, and finally, he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, I got to be out of my mind. He says, I'd rather be back in my Father's house, back home as a slave and work for my father than to deal with this. He came to himself because he wasn't himself. He was somebody else. He was outside of God. But when you repent, I don't care what you have done, and God give you the opportunity to repent. Remember, he is not going to make your mind up for you. But he will let you, he loves us so much that he will allow us to get so low. And he'll still welcome you home. And he loves you enough to allow you to come back home. That's why it's important. And this Father's Day, it's not about these natural fathers. It's nice that we are showing the exemplary act that we're there to do what God wants us to do. But if it wasn't for our Heavenly Father, we couldn't do what we are doing. I said a lot of times, if it wasn't for my Heavenly Father, because remember, God is love. If it wasn't for my Heavenly Father, I could even love Linda the way she needed to be loved. If it wasn't for my Heavenly Father, I couldn't love my sons like I love them. Or my daughter-in-laws like I love them. Or you like I love you. Love is rooted in him. But in order to experience that love, don't you know we have to be in the family? Is anyone here? See, the prodigal son, he was at home. And I'm going to say he pretty much was in a backslidden state because he wasn't satisfied with home. Because he think things are so much better outside of home. He heard about, he probably, you know, how we look at TV and we see these big cities and we want to go visit Vegas and we want to, because there's a lot of Hawaii. We want to go to these foreign places that we've never been. And we don't get a chance to say, well, I don't have the finances, but I do. I'm going to leave home. I'm going to this far country and just experience all this excitement. That's what this little boy did. Teenage boy. He just, Dad, give me what's mine, as if you were dead. Give me mine, let me go. I can't stand this. You had too many rules, regulations. I work too hard around here. I can't get along with my brother. I can't get along with you. I'm leaving. And that's what he did. But God, that father loved him enough to give him money and let him leave. Don't you know God loves us even more than that? How many times have we spit in his face? We did the same thing those Roman soldiers did to him when he was on the cross. But he loved you so much to keep you alive long enough for you to have the opportunity to repent. And he loves you so much, he's going to welcome you back home. So that's what he is doing today on Father's Day. Anyone that needs him, needs to come back home, this is your opportunity.